Our text will be found in John chapter 17 and at verse 17. John 17, verse 17. The words of Christ. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Last week we looked at adoption and we noticed that God is a God of order, and in the order of our salvation, it is, we would say, regeneration, effectual calling, justification by faith, adoption, and then sanctification. This is what we have before us here. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ praying. And he's praying before his true, genuine, wholehearted disciples. Judas, of course, had left by this time. And he was on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane and all that followed after that. And here we find, if we may say it reverently, the Lord Jesus Christ pouring out his heart in prayer. And he prays for himself, and he prays for his disciples who were with him there. But blessed be God, he also prayed for those who would believe following the preaching of his disciples. And therefore, friends, in a very real sense, if we belong unto the Lord Jesus, he was praying for us at that time. Amazing as it may sound, about to face Gethsemane and the cross, the Lord lifts up his voice and prays for himself, prays for his immediate disciples who were there, and prays for others who will believe following the preaching of the apostles. And of course, we would fall into that category. And something that he prays for us today as believers is, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And we want to look very briefly at this glorious doctrine of sanctification. There are three things that are absolutely vital and necessary for us to be in glory and in heaven. And we cannot dispense with any one of them. The three of them, friends, are regeneration. We must know what it is to be born of the Spirit of God. The next one is justification by faith, which is the first act of the regenerated person. He reaches out and he has faith in the Lord Jesus. He seizes that gift that is given to him, that he believes upon the Lord, and he is justified by faith. But also there is another element that is absolutely necessary and vital. It is sanctification. Now, although we can distinguish between these three things, the truth is, friends, the truth is that where you have one of these things, you will have the other two. In other words, if we're born again, we cannot possibly be but justified by faith. And therefore, we shall be sanctified. Although there is an order, and this helps us understand the order of salvation, in one real sense, we cannot separate these things. Because where you will find justification, you will find regeneration. And where you find justification, you will find sanctification. Yet, the Lord says here, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And therefore, I want to impress upon God's people today this glorious truth of sanctification. and what do we know about it? Many people get sanctification and justification confused and mixed up. This is certainly one of the errors of the Roman Catholic Church. Well, there are similarities between these two things. Both of them are the result of the grace of God. We would know nothing of justification or sanctification if it were not for the grace of God. And both of these things have been purchased for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great mediator of the covenant of grace. And all these things are in the covenant of grace. And this is what Christ has secured and won for us by his life and by his death and by his resurrection. These are the wonderful gifts that he bestows upon men. And therefore, if we know anything of these things, it is by the grace of God, and it has been purchased by the Lord Jesus. And as I said earlier, these things will be found in the same person. They will be there. If we are justified, we are sanctified. If we are sanctified, we must be justified. We cannot be devoid of one or the other. And this great thing of sanctification and justification, they begin at the same time. They begin the moment that we believe upon the Lord Jesus. And they are both necessary for salvation. We cannot dispense with any one of them. But there are things that do distinguish between justification and sanctification. In our justification, works play no part whatsoever. Absolutely no part whatsoever. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, the Bible says. But whereas works play no part in our justification, works are vitally important in our sanctification. Not to justify us, of course. That cannot possibly be. But nevertheless, sanctification and works are found together. Justification, what does it do? It reckons a man righteous. A man is credited as being righteous, whereas sanctification makes a man inwardly righteous. There's the difference, friends. Justification is the work of Christ for us. Sanctification is the work of Christ in us by his Holy Spirit. That is a difference. Our justification, the moment that we are savingly united to Christ, the moment that we believe, our justification is complete. And throughout all the ages of eternity, you cannot increase your justification. You are righteous in the sight of God now, as you will be all the ages of eternity. Your righteousness, your justification cannot in any sense increase. But sanctification is never completed in this world. It is not complete. It is a work of God. It's a work in progress, whereas justification is complete the moment we believe upon the Lord Jesus. And justification cannot be increased. But sanctification can be increased. That's why he prays, sanctify them through thy truth. These people were already believers upon the Lord Jesus. They were his dear disciples. Yet he says, sanctify them through thy truth. In the Bible, there are the word sanctify is used in two ways. It is used of people and of objects who have been set apart for holy use, like the Levites and the priests and the altar and the various utensils in the temple. They have been sanctified. They have been set apart for holy use. That's not the sense that sanctify is used here. Sanctify used here is whereby persons become holy. Become holy. There's an inward change in their lives so that they become inwardly holy in heart, and that is reflected in their outward obedience and their daily lives. Justification, we're glad to say, friends, gives us a title to heaven. Those who are justified do have a title to go to heaven. But what does sanctification do? Sanctification, friends, makes us meet, makes us fit, makes us appropriate for our heavenly abode. There's the difference. We may have a title to heaven when we're justified. That's true. But sanctification there, friends, is to prepare us for heaven. And therefore, that's vitally important that we know something of this glorious truth, not just in our heads, but in our hearts and in our experience. And sanctification, obviously, friends, is God's will for his people. Sometimes we are perplexed. We don't know what the will of God is for our lives. We come to a crossroads. We have to make decisions, and we don't know the will of the Lord. We don't know which way to take. Well, friends, here is something all of us know. Here is something that's clear and plain for the people of God. We are to be sanctified, and we are to know this glorious truth in our lives, and we are to practice it. Sanctify them through thy truth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul says to those in Thessalonica, "This is the will of God, even your sanctification." That's clear. That's dogmatic. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. And this is what God is telling us in his word. This is what God demands of his people, that we be sanctified. Does he not say, "Be ye holy as I am holy"? Does this not characterize? Does it not mark out for us God? As we look at God, as you look at all his attributes, all his perfections, are they not stamped with this above all? Holiness. His wisdom is holy. His mercy is holy. His love is holy. His wrath is holy. God is a holy God. It permeates throughout his being. Holiness to the Lord. This is what our God is. And this must be reflected in his people. And therefore, we want to impress upon all of us today the absolute necessity of sanctification, of inward holiness of heart and of life. A holiness and a life that can be seen, that can be noticeable, like a city upon a hill. People will say, "That individual there, what about him? What makes him so different?" It is the fact that he is a sanctified person. Christ is the one who does it, friends. He does it by his Spirit. In the wonderful practical part of Ephesians, towards the end of the epistle in chapter 5, he's talking about everyday normal activities that goes on in everybody's house. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. There, the Lord Jesus is telling us this is what he does with his church. And if we are the people of God, if we profess to know and love the Lord Jesus, Christ, by his Spirit, is in the process of sanctifying his people, washing them by the word of God. And therefore, friends, we cannot dispense with this. We cannot think that this is an optional extra, something that we can opt out of. No. This is to characterize our lives. And sanctification is to be real. The Bible even says that Christ and his people, such is the union between them, that they are to be known by their sanctification. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11, "For both he that sanctifieth," that is Christ, "and they who are sanctified are all of one." Is this not what he said in his prayer? The oneness between himself and his people? This should be reflected in our lives. And there should be this sanctification of heart and of life of us all if we profess to know and love the Lord Jesus. It would be good to remind ourselves of what our catechism teaches concerning sanctification. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, wherein we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. Friends, we must realize that the Lord Jesus on the cross did more than declare us righteous, or I should more accurately say, purchase for us more than justification. More than that, friends. Justification removes the guilt of sin. That is true. But sanctification makes us holy, makes us godlike, makes us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, to live like him. Oh, we know it will be an incomplete process. But because of that, friends, we are not to sit back and to say, let God do it. No. Sanctify them through thy truth. This is part and parcel of the Christian life. Holiness in heart and holiness in life. And that's what people will see. And that, my friends, can be a wonderful magnet and attraction when lives can be seen to be transformed because of their union with Christ. Well, one or two things first of all. We want to notice the nature of sanctification. One or two brief things to say about this regarding its nature. Well, we have already alluded to this, but sanctification flows from that union with Christ. All the blessings the believer enjoys come to us through that glorious, vital, organic union with Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the Word of God says. And in some real living way, friends, when we have come to the saving knowledge of Christ, we are joined to him in this wonderful, indissolvable union. We are with Christ. He is part of us and we are part of him. We share in his life. And this is what he gives to his people, sanctification. We, friends, when we become Christians, we cannot simply go along the same old paths that we were walking before. If this is the kind of Christianity we have, something's wrong. Alarm bells must wake us up, friends, because we are to become like Christ, and to become like Christ in a practical manner. Why? Because we are joined to him. John chapter 15, does he not talk about the vine? and the branches, and how the branches, how they derive all their sup and all their nourishment from the vine. And any branch that is not like the vine, it will be cut off. Is that not so? If it doesn't bear fruit? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-sufferingness, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such things there is no law. These are the kind of things that must be found in the child of God. They were found in the Lord Jesus, and they must be found in His followers. If that union is real, they must be. And our sanctification is connected with our regeneration. Oh, friends, we cannot speak enough about regeneration, because, friends, when we are regenerated, what happens? A new nature is implanted in us. The life of God comes into us. Once we were dead, once we were spiritually dead, we had no life in us at all. But when we say we're Christians, if we take this upon our lips, if we say to the world that we profess faith in the Lord Jesus, although we might not be able to articulate this, this is what we're saying. We're saying that the life of God has come into us. And surely then, friends, if the life of God has come into us, that life will manifest itself. Is it not so? When life comes, we can see life. There are effects. Didn't Jesus talk about being born again to Nicodemus? And he likened the working of the Spirit to be like wind. The wind bloweth where it pleases, and thou hearest it, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Can you see the wind? Can you capture the wind? No, you cannot see it. You cannot possibly see it, but you can feel it. You can feel it on a cold day when the wind is blowing. You can feel it in your face. And you can feel it in a warm day when the cool breeze comes upon you. Well, friends, so it is with anyone who is born of the Spirit of God. That life will show itself. That life will manifest itself. And it will manifest itself in a holy life, in a sanctified and a holy life. You know, friends, sanctification is the only real certain evidence that we have the Holy Spirit. This is what marks out the Christian. If we do not have the Spirit of Christ, we are none of His. Christ gives the Spirit to all His people. And when we say we're Christians, friends, sanctification is the only evidence that the Holy Spirit is in us. We can say we believe much and profess much and talk much and do much, but unless there's holiness, unless there's separation, unless there is true sanctification, the Holy Spirit is not there. It is not there. We are a congregation and a denomination that we would describe as Calvinistic. And one of the major doctrines or themes or teachings, if you like, not of course exclusively, but something that we would hold to is election. We believe that God has chosen in Christ a people before the foundation of the world. Do you delight in election? Do you hope that you're part of the elect? Well, friends, the only real evidence that we belong to the elect is if we know sanctification. According, he hath chosen you in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and to be blameless in his sight. And therefore, friends, if we're living lives that are inconsistent with a Christian profession, and if that's the way of our lives, then, friends, we must doubt our election, because we have been chosen in Christ to be holy and to be blameless in his sight. And where there is no holiness of life and no sanctification, we must doubt our election. Paul was able to look at the Thessalonians, and he was able to say, I know you're the elect of God. Why? Because you say you are of the elect? No, but because of your life, because of what you do, because your love, your faith, your diligence, and all the things you do, I can tell that you are of the elect. Can this be said of us, Christian? Oh, the minister's not looking for perfection here, friends. Far from it. The child of God will have his ups and his downs. He will sin. But what marks out the child of God from the child of the devil is that the child of God will not continue in sin. His life will not be characterized by open sin. He will seek to live a godly life. And yes, he might fall. And yes, he might backslide. But that will not be the bent of his life. They will be the exceptions rather than the rule. And the only way that we can be sure of our election, to make our calling and election sure, is to know sanctification in reality. What else can we say about sanctification? Well, it will always be seen. It will always be seen. Wherever someone is truly sanctified, and wherever someone is growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, and when that life has been consistently changing, it will be seen. It's like a city that's set upon a hill that cannot be hid. Now the individual believer himself who has been sanctified, he might see very little of it. He might not be aware of it. And very often those who are sanctified have a great conflict. You only have to look at Romans chapter 7 to see there Paul outlining his experience of his battle with sin. We are not of the opinion that this writing was written by someone who was an unbeliever or someone who was an inexperienced Christian. Rather, what we find there written in Romans chapter 7 was written by an experienced Christian who had been battling with sin. Yet this person was sanctified, yet he had a tremendous conflict with sin. That's because, friends, we have two natures. The Christian has two natures. He has the old nature. The old man is still within him, and he has the new man. And there is antagonism and fighting between these two natures. And someone who has been sanctified and who is growing in grace will know something of the conflict between these two natures. And we have to put to death the old man. And we have to feed the new man. And this is the conflict. And very often, friends, although it can be seen that someone is making progress in the Christian life, very often that individual himself cannot detect it. He cannot see it. Yet he's aware of his tremendous struggle. Oh, let me ask you, do you know about this conflict? Do You know what it is to battle with indwelling sin? Do you know what it is, friends, to sometimes go to the Word of God and you seek to read it, and before you know where you are, before you've hardly opened up your Bible, a number of thoughts have come into your mind and they just try to distract you from the Word of God? Or maybe you know it when you go to your closet and you're resolved, you're going to go and pray, you're going to spend some time before the Lord in prayer. And what happens? You get on your knees, you seek to focus upon God, and there's a multitude of things that come into your mind that would distract you from calling upon God in prayer. Friends, the Christian life, as someone said, he may have a peaceful conscience. And this is what justification brings to us. It's a peaceful conscience, but there may be a real battle, and there is a real battle. The battle between the flesh and the spirit. And we must know that. And your sanctification is something you are responsible for. In your regeneration, you are completely and utterly passive. You knew nothing about it. In your justification, the gift of faith was given to you. And repentance and the life was given to you. These are gifts that Jesus purchased and gives to his people. But you must believe and you must repent. You must do these things. And so it is with your sanctification. We know that God works in us. We know that. God works in us. But friends, he does not do the work for us. And therefore, it's vitally important that we realize that we are responsible for our sanctification. We are responsible for our growth in grace. You see one person growing in grace, you see another person who's not growing in grace. What's the problem? Is it God has somehow looked upon with favor upon that other individual and overlooked the other person? Friends, we are responsible for our own sanctification. God certainly works in us, yes, but we must do the work. We must fight. We must believe. We must battle. We must press on. This is what we must do, and we are ultimately responsible for our progress in sanctification. And as this text here would highlight to us, it depends primarily on the diligent use of the means of grace. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And therefore, friends, if we want to know anything about sanctification, we must go to the Word of God. There we must find it washing us, making us clean. And anyone who despises the Word of God or disdains it or will not be found reading it will know nothing of sanctification. And of course, we could add to that the means of grace, our own private prayer time. Sometimes God, through afflictions and the things that come upon us, sometimes these can be used to advance our sanctification. But primarily, friends, it is the Word of God. Thy Word is truth. This is what is to do. It is to cleanse us, to sanctify us. Is it not amazing, friends, that our sanctification pleases God? It absolutely pleases God. This is something that God delights in. In our justification, friends, our works play no part, as we have said. But in our sanctification, although all our works are far from perfect, and although all our works in sanctification could never in any sense justify us or appease the wrath of God or satisfy his righteousness, yet in our sanctification, our works are pleasing to God. How can we explain this? Well, a child who seeks to do something for his mother or father, and however imperfect the deed that they seek to do, it meets with the approval of the parent, because the parent is delighted to see the child doing something, trying to please the father or the mother. And that's the way it is with the child of God. As God looks upon his people, as they're engaged in sanctification, although their works are far from perfect, they're tainted with sin, and in some respects they are nothing more than splendid sins, yet the Father approves of them, and he delights in them. This is God's will for us, friends. And it does indeed please him. Sanctification is absolutely necessary. And on that day of judgment, it will prove vital. We are never saved by our works. This is not what the minister is saying, friend. But we will be judged by our works. It's an awesome thought. And on the day of judgment, we'll need to say something more than we simply believed upon the Lord Jesus. We'll need to demonstrate that that belief transformed our lives and made us like Christ in some manner. And as we said at the beginning in our introduction, and with this we will close, sanctification, friends, it trains and prepares us for glory. I know, secretly, everybody hopes one day to go to heaven, a place they call heaven. You ask the man in the street, yes, he ultimately, secretly wants to go to heaven. Whatever that place is, a place that he looks upon as being the ideal place, he wants to go there. We all want to go to heaven. But heaven, as the Bible depicts it, friends, is a holy place. God is holy. Christ is holy. The Holy Spirit is holy. The angels are all holy. All the inhabitants of heaven are holy. All the activities of heaven are holy activities. Do you think that we can suddenly just be transported into heaven if we ourselves are not, in some sense, sanctified and holy? This is what our sanctification is for. It's to prepare us, it's to train us for glory. Now, the minister, of course, is not preaching salvation by works. Far from it. You understand, friends, what I mean, what the Bible teaches us. But without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, we are told in the book of Hebrews. No man shall see the Lord. It doesn't matter what we professed. It doesn't matter what we say we believed. It doesn't matter what Bible version we read or how many psalms we sung. It does not matter. What matters, friends, is holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And all those who truly belong to the Lord Jesus will know something of this holiness. Something of this sanctification. This will be their bent. This will be their desire in life. To become like Christ. Not to secure their salvation. But because they are saved. And they want to be like their Master. Sanctify them through the truth. Through thy truth, thy word is truth. Amen. and may God bless his word to us. Let us pray.